Quiet and listen, otherwise you won't carry on with questions tomorrow and afternoon.
Lovely to see so many of you here that have been before, because we're telling stories from God's Word and Bible. All the stories have a very similar story for us. They tell us about God's love. Now, I'm going to tell you a story today about a man called Noah. Noah lived thousands of years ago. He lived thousands of years before Jesus Christ. In days when people lived to be very old, much older than Uncle Bruce. In fact, Noah was about 500 years old in this story. Noah was very sad because he still loved God and he still wanted to do what was right. And because he knew he had sin in him, he still did what God wanted him to do, and that was he would sacrifice the land to God. And what he was really saying was, this land is here bearing the punishment that I deserve. Knowing that one day, Jesus was going to come into the world to bear the punishment for our sin. And Noah would do that, and God showed him mercy. But everybody else in the world seen, just like everybody else, was very, very evil, very bad, very wicked. It was dangerous to go out into the land. Very famous. Noah had his best friend, Rob, who killed. Villages were burnt down. Children were killed. Old people were beaten up. It was a very frightening place, but a very sad place. Because Noah remembered how it had all started many years before. Noah had three sons. Remember these? The ones that we are in. The names were Shem, and they had wives, so they lived as a family. They probably lived in a little compound, maybe with a great fence around them to keep themselves safe. And that first picture you can just see, I don't even see the children there. What anger on their face. Not the cause of children, we say down nice for any children. That's not the cause of what it was. Now, Noah had a grandfather called Methuselah. And Methuselah was probably the oldest man that ever lived. He was 900 years old. And Methuselah had told Noah about the very beginning of the world, how that God had made Adam and Eve, his own special friends, how there had been no sin, how God used to come every day and meet with them and talk with them. But then, God's enemy, Satan, came in. And Adam and Eve sinned. And they had to leave the Garden of Eden. And they were punished by God. They became sinners. They had sin in their hearts. Everybody else that lived after them had sin in their hearts. It separated them from God. When we were separated from God, we were in great danger. And in Noah's days, and Noah lived, everybody was in great danger. Because they just said, God said, I'm not worried about God. We'll just do what we like. If I want to rob somebody, I'll rob somebody. Like God, there's no God. I'm not worried about God. But Satan is listening to their hearts, you see. Just like he listens to Adam and Eve. He doesn't need to listen to God. That's what Satan says. You don't need to listen to God. But despite how horrible people were, it was still a very lovely world. It's a lovely world, Satan. Beautiful world when you actually go out into the country and you look out. And listen carefully. In those days, there was no storm. There was no strong, violent wind. There was no rain. Just a dew in the morning, the wet water. There was a nice, gentle, high cloud across all the earth, so that when the sun shone, you'd see the sun come, it wouldn't be really bright and burning. There was no sun. No raging rivers. And over all the world, including the North Pole and the South Pole, it was lovely and warm. Everywhere in the world was warm. Totally different world than what we have today. That was how God made it. A very lovely world. No lightning, no thunder. I thought you'd get tried and stuck around the sort of lightning and thunder out there. And so people thought God was dead. But God wasn't. When God looked into their heart, and God saw that in everybody's heart, virtually all the good had gone. And all their thoughts were just bad all the time. Evil, violence, hatred, all the time. My God, they're sad. And one day, Noah had a great shock. God spoke to Noah and said to Noah, I am going to destroy this world. I'm going to destroy men and women, boys and girls, who are so bad and so evil. And I'm going to destroy all the beasts of the earth. That's what God told Noah. He must have been a great shock to Noah. But he couldn't be surprised. But Noah still trusted God, and he still offered his sacrifices, and still looked to God to have mercy on him, to be kind to him. He believed God was still alive to him. Isn't that how the Lord is? And Noah was so concerned that he made sure people knew it. He told his friends, he told his neighbors, God's spoken to me and he's going to destroy this world because you're all so wicked, you're doing such bad things. You won't pray to God, you won't ask God to be merciful to you, you won't say you're sorry to God, God's going to have to punish you. Please repent, please come and offer sacrifices with me, and perhaps God will show mercy. Oh, don't be silly, Lord, they say. Don't be silly. Who is whispering in their heart not to take mercy? Satan. Just like he has rather me. Then God came and spoke again to them. And this time, we might say, it completely blew his mind. He couldn't take him off God for telling him. God said, I want you to build a massive boat. A huge boat. It's going to have three decks. Now, this is just, we don't know exactly what it looked like, but this is what it might have looked like. And he gives you some idea of the size. A massive boat. Noah's not given a picture. God didn't give Noah a picture. God just told Noah how big it was going to be. But that's a great big American truck. They wouldn't have had trucks in those days. But this is to give you an idea of just how big it was. Massive. Huge. God said, how would you build that, Noah? So you'll be safe. That you're going to take yourself and your family because they trust in me and they offer their sacrifices through me, and you're going to take two of all the creatures on the earth into that ark. And seven of some animals into that ark to be safe. Noah couldn't take it in. Because Noah had never seen the sea. Like you've seen it. He'd never seen a great big river. He'd never seen water for a boat to float on. He'd only seen streams. He'd never seen rain. And the scientists would have said to Noah, don't be stupid, Noah. It's scientifically impossible for there to be a flood or for there to be water enough for a boat to float on. Just wrong. Can't happen. But Noah was not to God. Noah had faith in God. He listened to God. We've got coaching, the plan. The plan is going to be 450 foot long, 75 foot wide, 45 foot high. Don't worry about remembering those measurements. 3 decks, you can remember that. And it's going to take years and years and years to build. A huge job. What if God being kind? God could have just said, I'm going to destroy the world and destroy it like that. Or he could have said, no, I'm going to save you, tomorrow you'll be saved, I'm going to destroy the world. But God, all this time, all the time that was going to be built, God was saying to people, it is really going to happen. You can be saved if you repent of your sin, if you're sorry for your sin. And God told people that, but they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen to God. That's dangerous. Very dangerous not to listen to God. Adam and Eve didn't listen to God, and that's why they were in such danger. Murder, leave, no. And so work started. Months went by. Years went by. And in the area where Noah lived, it gave lots of work to lots of people. People that chopped down the trees in the woods had extra work to do. People that sawed up the wood had
extra work to do. And it was a tremendous thing for everybody living in the area. There was lots of work. And in fact, the tourist industry grew. People came from miles around to see this. This stupid man building a boat where there's no water. They came from miles around for something to see. Huge thing. And people were charging them to see it, and people were selling them hot dogs, whatever they used to sell in those days. all the rest of things to make money. But it's going to be huge. We know, you don't have to double think about it, don't you? Imagine two double-decker buses next to each other. Three double-decker buses. 10 double-decker buses. If those were big enough to hold 432 double-decker buses. Absolutely massive. And we reckon that probably there were over 60,000 animals went on it when finally the animals went on it. It was huge. But you see, despite the fact that the law was doing it, despite the fact that Noah was doing all the problems, despite the fact that Noah was telling people God is going to destroy this world, people are. They didn't mind Noah paying them for the water. They didn't mind Noah paying them to do this or do that. But they laughed at him. They didn't believe him. The scientists said it's impossible. And the reporters came in and said, "Now, Noah, you say this flood's going to come. Where's the water going to come from?" "I don't know," said Noah. "I don't know where that comes from, but God has told me." Years came and went. 10 years. 20 years. 30 years. It was about half built. 40 years. 50 years. 60 years. It still wasn't built. 70 years. Gradually getting near completion. Nor were the ranges of food being collected and put in barns because they were going to take a lot of food on board to feed the animals. Everybody was very busy. And the other by boat, they began to put the cages on board and the stalls on board for the giraffes and the elephants and all the animals. And the water trough and the feeding trough and the way of getting rid of all the waste from the animals. "Do you know something?" he said. "Oh, it's fantastic. The economy in this area has never been so good. Everybody's making lots of money because of the Noah building this up. I wonder what's going to happen when it's finished." And Noah said to them, "You don't need to worry what's going to happen when the work's finished on the ark. You're either going to be safe inside it." What are we going to do next? Noah wasn't happy about that. Noah was very sad about that. When the day came, when people saw, there was always a crowd watching, it was a great tourist attraction. When they saw Noah and his wife, and his three sons, and their wives, eight people all together, going up on board the ark. Silly people. What are they all now saying in there until they realise that there's not going to be a flood? And still Noah will come and say, "Please, you're making God angry with all your sins. Tell God your story. Offer your sacrifice. Come into the ark and be saved." But even his friends wouldn't listen to him. That must have made him very, very upset. And then one day, with all the crowd standing around, laughing, enjoying the sun, lots of noise and music going on, and suddenly, all went get sometimes that moment, it's funny something, everything's very quiet, but something worrying has happened. Something very worrying has happened because animals started coming out of the forest. Animals started coming out of the field. Animals started coming out and flying, but the birds came out of the sky. And they started coming to the ark. That's very strange. It was quite frightening. Two lions came up to the ark to walk on board. They would be thankful that God was sending them so they were safe now. Pterodactyls were flying in to the ark. Young dinosaurs were coming, no bigger than horses. Baby dinosaurs in the ark, young dinosaurs. Tyrannosaurus and all the rest of these dinosaurs. Young dinosaurs in the ark. Little rabbits, mice. You all went. Probably 7,000 creatures altogether,
gradually make their way to the ark. Now, we sang a lovely song. It was a pretty good song, but the only thing they got wrong in that song was Noah did not have to go chasing animals. We're told in the Bible that God sent the animals to Noah. And they came two by two, and animals that were going to be used for food and animals that were going to be used for sacrifices came seven by seven. God made sure that there'd be enough animals for food and enough animals for sacrifice. Can you imagine the people can't be present? Absolutely frightened. What's going on? One thing being, Noah and his silly family don't know more. These animals are coming. Noah must be a wizard. He must be a wizard. They wouldn't believe God, you see. They'd rather believe in wizards than God. Strange, isn't it? But these people were quite frightened by what was going on. And then, all was quiet again. The last animal had come. No more animals. No more birds. Then Noah came to the door. And he said, "See, God doesn't want any of you to die. God's not going to enjoy any of you dying because of your sin. If only you repent, if only you say you're sorry, if only you trust in Him, and trust in the sacrifice that He's going to make, come and pull the ark and be saved." And laugh and pray to whisper to them, "You would look so stupid going on that ark. It's just not scientific. It's not rational." And so, you can imagine, here Noah must have had tears running down his face, turning around and going to the side, down, looking at him, refusing to come on board the ark, for friends, relations, people he likes very much and loves very much. And as he turned round, some wise guy said, "Noah, you've forgotten something. The door. How are you going to close that door? It takes 10 people to lift that." Slowly as they watched, the door rose up and slapped shut. God had shut the door. It was now far too late. It was now too late for anybody to go in. And as people started joking and trying to forget it all, they felt the ground tremble. The first time ever they saw lightning in the sky. They heard thunder. And suddenly torrential rain started coming down, and as the earth quaked and a huge earthquake, sandplains of hot, steaming water came gushing up from under the ground, full of minerals, full of soil, and full of sediment. Suddenly people were being swept off their feet by raging water in no time at all. People were scared stiff. People made rafts to float on and to save themselves. Animals started racing towards the higher ground. There weren't mountains at this time, there were just high hills. And they rushed as high as they could get. People were panicking. And on board, they were safe. Sad, very sad, just safe. And so the days went by. And outside the ark, people perished as God said they would. Animals perished as God said they would because of their people's evil. On board, many of the animals may have actually gone to sleep and settled into hibernation. Others needed looking after. Outside, the biggest animals would climb the highest up the hills, the smallest animals soon got drowned and covered the sediment. And that's where we got all our problems from today, from all the animals that died and covered. But after 6 weeks, the rain stopped. 40 days, it rained. Some people think Noah was actually only on the ark for 40 days. It wasn't. Noah was actually on the ark for over a year. The flood, this huge worldwide flood, lasted over a year. But the day came. The day came when the flood was coming to an end. And Noah sent out two birds. He sent out the dove and he sent out the raven. The raven didn't come back. The raven found carcasses and that creek and faded to live. The dove came back. 7 days later, Noah sent out the dove again. And this time the dove came back with an olive leaf in its feet. And Noah knew that the trees, particularly on the hillside, that had been out of water for some time now,
but where they need to leave for them is life outside. Trees were growing and things were growing. And that was encouraging to know, because he hadn't been able to see what was going on outside for a long, long time, for a year now. And 7 days later, Noah left, sent his dove out again. And this time, the dove didn't come back. It had found somewhere it could live. And so it was just over a year now since God had shut the door. And then God comes to Noah and says, Noah, the flood is finished. You can now leave the ark. And so the door was opened. Noah and his family went out. And he very carefully pulled them out, two by two, and let them go off into the countryside where God looked after them and made sure they were able to survive and breathe and have babies. But Noah knew as he came down to the ground, he felt really sad. The world was empty, totally empty. Just Noah and his family. And Noah knew that he deserved to die, that God had been kind to him, God had been merciful to him. And Noah looked forward to one day when God would send Jesus into the world to be the Savior. It's because God, Noah, trusted that God was going to provide a sacrifice for sin, that Noah was saved. And so they came out and they finally offered a sacrifice to God, thanking God for saving from this terrible flood. And then for the first time ever, Noah saw something in the sky. If you've been enjoying this, you've been doing that now. Noah saw a rainbow. Nobody ever seen a rainbow before because there'd been no rain. And God said, I'm going to put this rainbow in the sky and I'm going to make a promise. I will never, never destroy the world again with a flood. And the sea, fire, and the harvest, summer and winter, day and night will not cease till the end of the world. But today, you have to remember that one day God is going to punish sin. God is going to destroy everything. Songs said in flame and fire, the world will be destroyed one day because people are still sinners. But Jesus came to bear the punishment for our sins. And we don't have to die if we listen to God. We don't have to be punished. Jesus can bear the punishment instead of us. And that's why we don't remember the verse we learn. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters in, they shall be saved. You.